Hello and welcome to Making Media Now, the Filmmakers Collaborative Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Azevedo. On this episode, I'm speaking with Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss, the co-producers and co-directors of Girl State, a revealing and inspiring documentary follow-up to their award-winning 2020 film, Boy State. Girl State poses the question, what would American democracy look like in the hands of teenage girls? A political coming-of-age story and a stirring reimagining of what it means to govern. Girl State follows young female leaders from wildly different backgrounds across Missouri as they navigate an immersive experiment to build a government from the ground up, form a Supreme Court, and debate the divisive issues of the day. Here's the film's trailer.
Something in the air, and it's politics.
Girl State is like high school teenage girls who care about government.
Are you friends?
No, no. We'll become friends.
Yeah, obviously.
In 2040, I intend to run for president.
So I think at Girl State, I'm gonna run for governor.
Attorney General.
Supreme Court Justice.
What's this?
Okay.
We're never gonna get the opportunity to talk to people from different parts of Missouri the way that we are right now.
I am a very social person. I will talk to a wall.
Often when women start talking politics, we get shut down.
But I'm not one to be left on the dust.
We all have, in our own different ways, grown up in a world where we've never seen a female president. But how do we change that? We step up.
This is where it all begins.
We all work very hard on the image of ourselves that we want to show to the world. It's exhausting.
Okay. I know it's a lot of pressure. I can see it. I'm that same person, so breathe.
Good luck.
Good luck to you too.
We are all Americans and we all want the best for this country. This crowd of future leaders, I can save that. God can save the world. Women will save America.
Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain have collaborated on several high-profile film projects in addition to Girl State and Boy State, including The Mission, The Overnighters, Mayor Pete, and The Bandit, among others. And they just so happen to be husband and wife. Girl State is currently available on Apple TV+. Making Media Now is sponsored by Filmmakers Collaborative, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting media makers from across the creative spectrum. From providing fiscal sponsorship to presenting an array of informative and educational programs, Filmmakers Collaborative supports creatives at every step in their journey. To learn more, visit filmmakerscollab.org. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do follow, share, and leave a review. Now on to my conversation with Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss. Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss, welcome to Making Media Now.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Michael.
So we're here to talk about Girl State, and congratulations on the critical acclaim and the audience acclaim that your film has received so far. It's only been out in the world for less than a week, and I'm reading great things about it, and I surely enjoyed watching it. So I did read that you described Girl State as a sibling to Boy State, your 2020 film, as opposed to a sequel. Jesse, what do you see as the distinction there?
Well, they share DNA and they share parents, but they, like, we have two children and they're different ages. They're both girls, but they're really different. And it's important to recognize their difference. I think that when we set out to follow up Boy State, we had to give ourselves permission to let Girl State assume its own identity, free from our impositions. And that meant going to a different state. It meant letting go of some of the ways in which we knew Boy State worked, but Girl State wouldn't necessarily. But really fundamentally giving ourselves permission to try and even to fail if that were to happen. It's risky to make this kind of film. I think you don't know what the story will be. So For those reasons, I think it really is related but different in ways that we're very proud.
Amanda, can you tell me a little bit about the casting process for Girls State? When you enter the casting process, I imagine you have a sort of a dream cast in your head. But talk to me a little bit about what that vetting process is like and what type of balance you might be trying to strike.
We learned a lot from making Boy State. And I'd say one of the things we learned was to give ourselves a lot of time beforehand to find the right people to make the film with. Once the session gets going during that week in June, it goes at light speed. So there's no way we're going to find people on the ground. Our cast is bigger this time. We have about 7 main characters. Last time we had 4. So I think that's indicative of the fact that we talked to so many incredible young women in the state of Missouri ahead of time. We took 4 months to talk to hundreds of kids who wanted to talk to us. So the camp had asked people if they were willing to talk to us. And of those kids, we Zoomed with many of them. And that was a really interesting project in and of itself, frankly, to just hear what was on their mind. How did they feel about politics? What did they do, you know, in their free time? What did they like about school? There's a real portrait of teenage life in America in 2022 that I hope somebody else makes. But Jesse likes to say that the kids that we found kind of cast themselves on some level, for whatever reason, they burst onto the Zoom screen with in Emily's case, I'm going to run for president in 2040. I mean, we'd never met a teenager girl or boy who'd said that to us. And she said it with such conviction and then really just talked straight in one long sentence, I think for about 10 minutes, about all the things she was interested in. She has a lot of energy and knows a lot about politics, has a lot of passion for America and democracy. And I think is confident enough emotionally and just in who she is at 17 that a collaboration with us made sense. That's not true of all people at 17. They may get there at 18 or 20, but we needed at 17 that certain person that was confident in themselves and also didn't change who they were in front of the camera, which is not, I mean, teenagers, but also anybody. Like if you pointed a camera at me, I'd start to act a little funny. So we needed that. And we found that in a very diverse group of kids who had very different politics and were very from different parts of Missouri. And we're glad we met them because they really make the movie.
Yeah. And staying on that in front of the camera point for a moment, you know, contemporary teens, if you're 17 years old, probably for the better part of the last decade, most 17-year-olds have been engaging with cameras, ones that they carry around and ones that they're always posting video of for a long time. As documentary filmmakers, you're always trying to sort of capture the real in life and sort of, you know, the unscripted, the unadorned. Did that pose any type of not necessarily a challenge, but create a consideration around, are these kids more likely to be in performance mode as opposed to be real mode?
I think that it's part of what you're filtering for in casting is how comfortable in themselves and are they, and is there a lack of self-consciousness when the camera is pointed at them? It's one thing to photograph yourself for social media. It's another thing to have a camera pointed at you. And you don't really know that until you point a camera at someone. And I think that we, at this point in our careers, you know, beginning when there was no social media to now, are pretty good at ascertaining whether somebody is at least what we think of as themselves in front of our camera. And I think that is a unique combination of confidence and also vulnerability. The camera perceives both of those things. I think we're looking for those kind of contradictory qualities. And most people have one or the other, but not both. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just in the same way that you would, I think, often look far and wide to cast a film and look at, you know, many, many candidates. Because you're also sort of asking yourself, like, who is right for the story that we want? It's not just who they are, it's who the story you want to tell about them. So,
there was a moment where we thought, gosh, maybe we'll do this project by filming it on iPhones, like very advanced, like, you know, the biggest ones we can find that have now pretty good cameras, because a lot of what they do, right, this generation is through text or Snapchat or TikTok or whatever. So there's all of that stuff. And then we had that conversation with a DP, and I think we did a little filming just for like a half a day. And it was became very clear that the iPhone, when you put an iPhone camera in front of anybody, let alone a teenager, they do start mugging a little bit. But our cameras are very different. And I think that was part of it too, is that we did made the choice, like, no way. The iPhone immediately gets people into that kind of presentational mode. And so that we scrapped that plan, thank goodness, because it also is not very high quality. No offense to Apple iPhones, but, like, you know, our cameras really have much more of a cinematic way of recording image.
One of the things that's so great about the film and so enjoyable to watch is the way some of these friendships seem to organically form. And, you know, you've got these girls who are strangers to each other, and they're walking into these lunch rooms, and they're going over to introduce themselves to a table. Knowing that you only had this limited amount of time, because the week, the event itself is only a week, and you're looking to capture numerous pieces of footage. How did you encourage, but sort of not get in the way of being those that fly on the wall to capture those organic connections?
I think that the week is so intense. They're so caught up in their story that we pretty quickly recede to the background. We're not invisible, and we never are. And I don't believe in proclaiming an invisibility or a fly on the wall position. I don't think it actually is accurate to documentary work. And people have a complex relationship to both the camera and to the filmmaker, that they're always aware of that. But I think they do get caught up in what they're doing, and they do learn to trust you. And so both of those things were, I think, happening. We built a pretty strong relationship of trust with these kids beforehand, and that through the week, and how we built our team and who we paired people with, and how we got to know them. So I think that really did allow for us to be there in moments of intimacy. And also part of it is just the lack of persistence and being willing and able to capture everything, because often you don't know the meaning of a moment until later.
Right.
Big moments, you know, in the moment, but many small moments, their meaning only becomes clear further deep into the edit. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the young women portrayed in the film, as we begin to get to know them, they will use a lot of different adjectives to describe themselves. And some will use conservative, and some will use progressive. I'm curious as to where they get those definitions of themselves from. In other words, did you get the sense that those were positions that derived from their feelings around social issues, or was it economic issues, or was it because of how they were raised? And I was just curious how at a relatively young age they have self-identified in that way.
A huge part of our interest in this group is that they are 17 and still forming. They're like shape-shifting and taking it all in and filtering it out and changing. You know, that's exciting to be around, again, as parents of 17-year-old right now. It's really, really beautiful to witness. And those conversations I had with all those kids, they really did a la carte their politics and, like, didn't identify as one party or the other, because they haven't had to check that box on the ballot box yet, right? So one of the questions we went into both projects, Boy State and Girl State, with was like, where do you get your politics from? Like, so many of these kids I talked to in Missouri had they told me quickly, I have very different politics than my parents. And I thought that was interesting. How come? Where'd that come from? Is it social media? Is it whatever news media you're watching on TV? Is it your parents? Is it at your school? Where does that all come from? And I think what the kids we followed, each one would have a different answer for that. And I would really actually think they should answer. Why do you identify as progressive? Where did that come from? And who led you there? Or did you lead yourself? And what does that mean to you? Cause those words are a little like, you know, Emily is a conservative, but I know some people who would call themselves conservative who are a different kind of conservative than her conservative. There may be more election denying conservatives, right? She's not. So that there's a lot of different boxes even within those boxes. So I love that teenagers are still flexible, elastic, forming, open, listening. They aren't sort of, I'm not sure I would want to make a film about a 1 week session of 50-year-olds talking about politics. I think that that's maybe for someone else to do.
Yeah. So during the course of the week, the girls decide which offices they might want to throw their hat in the ring for, to run for, et cetera. I'm curious if any distinction emerged in how they felt about what it took to run for office versus what it took serving in office. In other words, what constituted winning with the campaigning versus actually enacting policy?
Right. So what's notable, at least at Girls State, Missouri, and this is true of Boys State in Texas, there is not much in the way of enacting or executing policy once they're elected. It's really an electoral contest, and that is the...
Well, that's the project. That's the learn by doing is like electoral politics, yeah, right? It's, do you win at all costs, or what's your campaigning style? How do you win the popularity contest?
In Texas, they spent a lot of time actually building the party identities, and the candidates' negotiation of that process actually becomes the equivalence of governing in a way. At Girl State, there was almost none of that. So it was really purely just, what are they going to campaign on? I think where we saw that in interesting ways is the Supreme Court, where they're actually arguing and deciding a really significant and interesting case around privacy and abortion with obvious resonant real world significance. And now, as Brooke herself acknowledges, it's not a real court. You know, they're just 16-year-old girls. But I think we understand that abortion is meaningful in their lives. Like, these girls may get pregnant and decide they want an abortion, and now in the state of Missouri, they can't do that, right, legally.
At the time that you were filming, the memo had been leaked that all the trends were indicating that Roe was going to be overturned, but the decision hadn't come down. How pervasive was knowledge of that throughout the campus among the young women at the time, and how much did it matter to the majority of them, would you say, in addition to the young women that we meet on camera?
Well, I think they were all aware of the fact that it had been leaked and that this was a momentous decision. I don't think they all equally understood what that meant. And in fact, it's really interesting to watch Nisha talk to girls who don't quite recognize what the significance of the ruling will be in their state of Missouri, a conservative state that has a trigger law that will go into effect the moment that ruling is finalized. So that was a real distinction. They were really all aware of it. And
I think also everybody, at least that we were watching closely, was aware of sort of the moral debate, but the legal debate is maybe something that not all the kids understood. What was actually being discussed in the Supreme Court that led to Roe v. Wade being overturned, right? And that's why to watch them do the Supreme Court was really interesting, because privacy question is the question, and it has bigger implications, not just for abortion, women's rights. So that's part of it. But to watch them also have this moment of sort of taking back the conversation into an all-girls space, and some of those girls are pro-life, you know, but to have the conversation in an all-women space was sort of a beautiful, if only for a moment, answer to that leaked opinion, which felt so out of control and by people so far away. So I think that that was really kind of wonderful to be there for.
So now, of course, you're out of the editing process and the film is out in the world and you all are doing a lot of press around it and so forth. I'm wondering what type of contact you've maintained with any of these young women, particularly in the environment where Roe did fall. And we've seen over the past 18 months or so the fallout from that state to state, most recently this week in Arizona. Curious if you've had, you know, what type of follow up communication you've had with any of these young women, and if the the import of that decision plays any role in their lives or in their thinking these days.
Well, they're in our lives every day. They were at the premiere at Sundance, which was incredible, and are engaged in conversation with us on their own, sometimes with news media, going to screenings, talking to audiences, engaging around not just the question of abortion, but other messages in the film, the message of female representation, the message of leadership, the message of connecting with people whose politics you maybe don't totally share, but still find points of commonality. So I think there's a lot to talk about. I think they're all finding different ways to engage these issues. And I think there will be a long tail, because we know, and you're mentioning Arizona, that this conversation around abortion will be defining in our election this year and the presidential contest and so many other statewide races. So, but that's not the only thing to talk about. There's a lot to talk about. And the good thing is they're incredible, and we're just happy to lift up their voices and let them speak for themselves.
Yeah, indeed they are. So thoughtful, so articulate, and just so wonderfully humane with each other. You know, teenagers get, I think, a very easy and lazy bad rap a lot for you know, being just addicted to social media and unable to engage. But both of your films really turn that supposition on its head. And I thank you for the film, and I thank you for your time. I've been speaking with Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss, the co-directors and producers of Girl State. Thank you both.
Thank you, Michael.